Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Hebrews chapter 11. Has anybody here heard of the book called Humans of New York City? Humans of New York City by Brandon Stanton. And he's a photographer who had this idea, okay? He thought, I want to photograph 10,000 people on the streets of New York City. And I just want to put up a blog and just let the picture kind of speak for itself. So after he started doing this a while, he started to ask questions of the people he photographed. And some of the questions were personal questions. What's your greatest disappointment you've ever experienced in your life? What's your greatest hope? What's the greatest dream that you have for your life? What's your greatest hurt? Things like that. And it was amazing to hear people's life stories. So I looked this guy up, and I looked up his, he's got a Facebook page, okay? And he's got all these pictures of people, and then he's got a little kind of a brief synopsis of a piece of their story. And I found myself captivated by reading these little stories from people about what they'd experienced in life. Ups and downs. And then what's interesting is the replies and the responses of other people. Hundreds and thousands of responses on these different posts that he puts up. He has almost 20 million followers on his Facebook page. And they're all over the world. And I started thinking about that. And I thought, you know, I love reading these things because these are real people. And these are true stories. And they resonate with me. Not every one of them, but a lot of them, they resonate with me. I can identify with these people. They're ordinary people, just like you and me. And I think that's why we love this 11th chapter of Hebrews, because we are studying about people that are just like you and me. They're ordinary people. We call them the heroes of faith, you know, the Hall of Fame of faith, and they're faith heroes. But really, they're just ordinary people. They're just like you and I, that they were called to do extraordinary things through faith in God. And so we're going to kind of continue to explore their stories this morning. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the life that you give us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to us as we study the life of Moses today, that you would speak to us through this little sliver of this section of what we study about his life. Lord, what an amazing man Moses was. And Lord, all that he experienced and encountered in his lifetime and his journey with God. And so, Lord, as we look at Moses' life, may we also use that illustration to look at our lives. Lord, that you would touch our hearts and our minds with your word. Challenge us, Lord, with the principles of faith that we see in the life of a faithful servant of yours named Moses. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how important is faith? Well, Hebrews 11:6, remember, we studied it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we need to believe that he's real, that he's alive, that God is real. But you also have to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he's real, but also he's a rewarder. You know, the devil believes that God's real. James 2 says, the demons believe. They believe in God. They have a stronger faith in God than a lot of people on this planet. But they don't believe that he's a rewarder, do they? No, they don't know his character. So we need to believe that he's real and that he's a rewarder, that he actually acts and moves in our lives. Now, last week we studied what? The faith of Moses' parents. This week we're going to study the faith of Moses. In verses 24 through 27 of Hebrews 11, we hear a little bit of his faith. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses had a faith that caused him to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and rather to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Because faith, a faith that pleases God, will refuse some things in order that we might choose other things. That's a faith that pleases God. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused, and it cost him. That's our key point right here. There is always a cost to follow Jesus. Always a cost to follow Jesus. Remember the rich young ruler? He went away sad. Why? Because he was unwilling to pay the cost to follow Jesus. And do you remember what Peter said regarding that? He said, Lord, we, meaning he and the disciples, we've left all to follow you. It cost the disciples. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. What things were gained to me, I count as rubbish that I might gain Christ. He says, I refuse those things that are gained that I might choose Christ. And truly, for every born-again believer, Galatians 5:24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So when we come to faith in Christ, we're saved by grace through faith. We know that. God saves us by his grace through faith in Christ. So salvation is a gift from God. But it's going to cost us to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus that pleases God. So following him, pleasing him with my life choices, that comes at a cost. And growing in Christ and knowing him more, that's going to cost us something as well. These come at cost. And for some, these things come at great cost. For Moses, it came with a great cost. Jesus said this, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So it takes time, doesn't it, to pray? It takes time to pray. It takes time to study the Word of God, to really read and know God's Word. It takes time to attend church. There's a cost. We have to choose some things or refuse other things. This morning, there's a great cost, especially if you're in the fellowship hall, because they're in the sun out there with the air conditioner broken out there. You and I, we at least have some air conditioning in here, don't we? So seriously, though, there's a cost to serving others with Christ's love. It costs us something. We need to choose some things and refuse some things. We need to readjust our priorities. So it requires refusing and choosing. Moses paid a high cost to follow God's plan for his life, God's will, God's call on his life. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Was Moses in line to be the next Pharaoh? We don't know. Perhaps he could have been, but we don't know. There were many pharaohs, by the way, that were not Egyptian. In the history of pharaohs, it's surprising to find out they had foreign pharaohs on top of it. Isn't that interesting? So Moses well could have been in line to be the next pharaoh. Who was this pharaoh's daughter? Who was this woman? She was a woman that Moses owed his very life to. She rescued him from certain death. That's who she was. She was a woman that took care of him for the first 40 years of his life. Pharaoh's daughter. She was a woman that I would have to say loved Moses. And probably Moses loved her. That's who this woman was. But I am certain that this woman never understood the choice that Moses made. She would not get it. How would he refuse to be called my son, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and choose rather to suffer the affliction and reproach of Christ and God's people? She wouldn't get it. Key point, the world will never understand the faith life of the child of God. So you may have parents, you may have kids, you may have friends, relatives. They don't understand. They think you're crazy. You've gone off the deep end. They don't understand, and they will never understand. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And Moses had a lot to lose, didn't he? He had to pay a high price. I mean, he lost a lot. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot. He didn't say he might not. He said he cannot be my disciple. For Moses, it meant to turn your back on your father, grandfather, Pharaoh, on your mother, Pharaoh's daughter, to choose Christ, to choose God's call. I haven't been asked to do that. But Moses was. Perhaps you have been. I don't know. Think about this. Moses, when he made that decision to refuse and to choose, there's no turning back. It is the point of no return. He is boxed into a corner and he has burnt every bridge. Yeah, there's no coming back to that. Warren Wiersbe writes about a mayor of a large American city who moved into a dangerous and decaying housing project to demonstrate the problems and the needs of minorities. But she kept her fashionable apartment and residence in the nicer part of town. And after a time, she left the slums to return to her residence. That's a whole different thing than what Moses gave up to follow God. You see, true faith, biblical faith, will confront you and I with a cost. It does. We could have testimonies today of the cost of true faith. And the thing that's interesting I find about the cost of following Christ faithfully, it's different for every person. It's going to be different for you than it will be for me and for every one of us. Think about this. I was thinking about Joseph, okay? Joseph was in Egypt, and he paid a cost to obey God and God's call in his life. What was the price Joseph paid? The price he paid was he had to stay in Egypt, and he had to serve. What? Who did he serve? Potiphar. He served the Egyptian jailer, the warden. He served Pharaoh himself. Now, what was the cost for Moses? Interestingly, Moses, His cost is to leave Egypt. And not only does he not serve Pharaoh, he refuses and he resists and he rebukes Pharaoh. That was his cost. So it's different. Everyone pays a different price to be faithful to God. So what's the enemy of this kind of faith? This faith that pleases God. A faith that pleases God, as we're seeing in the life of Moses, is a place that refuses and chooses. What's the enemy of that kind of faith? I believe it's rationalization, and I believe it affects every one of us. Every one of us, me, you, every one of us. It's a human condition. It's the same battle that we all have to face. Rationalization. Do we truly refuse, and will we truly choose? So think about it. I'm convinced of it, and I think I can prove it scripturally. Moses rationalized the call of God on his life because he thought he could fulfill it in his flesh. He thought he could fulfill it in his position. He thought he could fulfill God's call in his own power. And he could stay in his comfortable palace. And guess what? I can help God's people more in this place of power and prominence and influence. Can I? And maybe one day I'll be Pharaoh. And maybe one day I'll be able to say, the people of God can go. They're free. I could actually accomplish God's will better if I just stay in this comfortable place here. And I can imagine that must have been working in his mind and in his heart. But was it God's way? Nope. Why wasn't it God's way? Because granted, Moses is possibly right. He could have accomplished God's people being set free from Egypt by staying and maintaining his position. But the problem is, who would get the glory? Yeah. God wouldn't get the glory. Moses would have gotten the glory. But God's way was a whole different way, and God got the glory. You see, Moses had to determine who he was going to obey, and was he going to obey God fully? You and I have that same struggle. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. We all kind of get in our positions where we want to try to somehow make that work. He says you can't. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have two masters. We only have one loyalty. That was what that last song was all about. We were singing that he is the only one. He is the only one that has that place in our heart and our life. John Brown, a Puritan, said this: some find it impossible to make the sacrifices Christianity requires because they have no faith. They, he's speaking of the sacrifices, must be made. Otherwise, our Christianity is but a name, our faith is but a pretense, and our hope is but a delusion. Yeah. So some Christians are all talk and no walk. We know them. We see them. Yeah. They're all show, but they're no sacrifice. They think that's what it means to follow Christ. Verse 25, Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The passing pleasures of sin. Did you know there's pleasure in sin? The Bible says that for a season. There's pleasure in sin. What is he talking about, these passing pleasures of sin? Well, lust, we would think of lust and greed and sexual immorality and all these gross sins that could be part of that pleasures of sin. But they're fleeting. There's pleasure in sin, but only for a time. Because I've never met a Christian later in life that thinks that the sins they committed in their youth were of value. I never met a Christian that said, well, I wish I would have stolen more before I came to Christ. I haven't. Maybe they've thought that, but they haven't said it. I wish I'd have sinned more before I became a Christian. I have met a lot of Christians that have said later in life, I'm glad that I didn't do all the things that they were doing in college when I was in college. Or I'm glad I resisted that adulterous affair that I was becoming entangled with. Or I wish I could go back a second time and do some things over again in my life. Or I wish I hadn't succumbed to some of the sins I did succumb to in my youth. I've met a lot of Christians that have said things like that. But here's the thing about the pleasures of sin. We think about them as those types of sins, but really the pleasures of sin is more broad and encompassing. And for Moses, I think it included all of these things, but I think it also included some other things. How about the easy life? How about riches with no financial worries? How about a future that is bright with success in front of it? We don't think about that as the passing pleasures of sin. Riches without financial worry? The easy life? Moses had it. How about a future that was bright? Moses' future looked bright. Was that a sin for Moses? Oh, yeah. It would have been a disastrous sin. The story wouldn't have ended the way it did if Moses hadn't refused those things. Interestingly, for Joseph, he enjoyed all those things later in his life, didn't he? But for Moses, it would have prevented him from following God's call upon his life. It says in Acts 7:23, now when he was 40 years old, speaking of Moses, 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. It came into his heart? How did it get there? Who put it there? Yeah, God put it there, right? God put it there. God's call was upon Moses' life. And Moses refused the privileges and the pleasure of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, what did he choose? The reproach of Christ. In verse 26, it says, he esteemed the reproach of Christ of greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He resisted pleasure and privilege for what? To choose reproach? What is he, crazy? Reproach is something that has become one of the most like taboo things that people run away from today. I think it's very interesting. Let me redefine reproach to you. Give you some other words for it. Shame. Insult. Rejection. Scorn. Moses was laughed at. He was the butt of the jokes. I'm sure all of Egypt was making up jokes about this idiot Moses that left Pharaoh's house to wallow in the brick pile with the people of God. What an idiot he was. What a fool he was. He would be despised. He would be considered crazy, wouldn't he? He'd be considered just stupid. He wasn't understood at all. Why? Moses looked a lot like Jesus, didn't he? Yeah. Jesus suffered all of these same things. Nobody understood him. They didn't understand him. He suffered insults and scorn, rejection. Yeah, he did. And shame. You see, following Christ requires giving up some things that the world may hold dear. That the world may hold dear. following Christ, that the world may prize. Jesus calls us to choose, you and I, every one of us, the narrow path, the broad path. The crowd chooses the broad path, and there's many going down. But you know what? Jesus isn't on that path. Jesus isn't in that crowd. He's on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. So faith in Christ will refuse things and choose things. Faith in Christ refuses Egypt or the ways and the sin of the world, and rather chooses the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Faith in Christ will cause us to refuse to identify with our earthly life and choose rather to identify as what? A child of God. It refuses to value temporal things and chooses rather to value the eternal things. It refuses fame and power and chooses rather servanthood and meekness. It refuses promotion of myself and rather I choose to promote others before me. It refuses to repeat the sins of my parents, instead choosing to walk in the newness of life in Jesus Christ. It refuses to be a victim, and it chooses to take responsibility and to rise above the status of victim. It refuses to indulge the flesh and chooses rather to walk in the power of the Spirit. It refuses the desire for revenge and chooses rather to freely forgive those who have wronged us. It refuses hate, it chooses love. It refuses gossip, and it chooses to hold confidence. It refuses to speak lies and chooses to speak the truth and speak it in love. It refuses to use others and chooses rather to use things. It refuses to curse people and chooses to bless people. It refuses foolishness and chooses to walk in wisdom. It refuses the world and chooses Christ and Christ alone. It refuses to be silent in the face of injustice and chooses to confront wrong by what? Defending the weak. It refuses to be greedy for unrighteous gain and chooses rather to be joyfully generous. It refuses the fame that comes from this world and chooses rather the shame of Christ. That is faith. A faith that refuses and a faith that chooses. Yeah, and Moses had to flee Egypt. He had to flee Egypt. Think about it. He had to refuse and choose. It was outside of Egypt where God revealed himself to Moses. He wanted to reveal himself, but he called Moses out of Egypt so that he might reveal himself and the call that he had on his life to Moses in a powerful way. And we know the story, the burning bush. God telling him, I am who I am. Esteeming, it says, the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses was no fool. He chose the reproaches because he looked to the reward. That's what helped him. And he looked at the reproaches of God's people as being greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. And it wasn't just pie in the sky for Moses. He was enjoying all the treasures of Egypt. He actually had them to enjoy. And he still considered the reproach greater than the treasure. Wow. How? Why? Why would he do that? Because Moses believed something. He believed that God is a rewarder. He believed that God is a rewarder. And just like I said, the demons, Satan himself, they believe that there's a God, but they don't believe he's good, and they don't believe he's a rewarder. Do you? So Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8 says this, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues with injustice. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues with injustice. Do we believe that? You see, there's so many things in the Word of God that challenge us. Do we really believe that? Did you notice the miracle that happened during the worship time in the service today? Yeah, it was a miracle. Yeah, the ushers came forward, they started passing baskets around, and people actually put money into the baskets rather than taking money out of the baskets. You think about that. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. You're putting money into the basket instead of taking money out of the basket. Why would anybody do that? Ah, because we actually believe God. We actually trust God. We really believe that the tithe is His. We really believe that He is going to reward us for giving, that He will rebuke the destroyer for our sake. We really believe that. Therefore, we are giving to Him. Yeah, it's a miracle. So when we really believe God is a rewarder, we'll sacrifice our finances, but we'll also sacrifice our time. When we believe He'll reward, we'll sacrifice our pride. When we believe He'll a rewarder, we'll sacrifice our dignity. When we think we need to stand up for our rights, we'll sacrifice that, our rights, for the place of humility. When we believe truly that God is a rewarder, we'll resist sin because we believe He's a rewarder. Otherwise, why not just give in to the sin? But because we truly believe He's a rewarder, we resist the sin. We put down our flesh. And did you know that God always, He always rewards true faith? Always. But He doesn't always reward true faith immediately. But He always rewards true faith ultimately. Ultimately, He always rewards true faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So whose reward do we want? Do we want the reward of man, or do we want God's reward? Every one of us in life are faced with these decisions, and we're faced with them daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. We're faced with these decisions. Some of them are big, some of them are small, but we're all faced with that. Whose reward do we want? Do we want the reward now, here, of this life, temporal, or do we want to sacrifice because we truly believe that God is the ultimate rewarder? It challenges all of us. And in order to trust God's a rewarder, we have to be one that refuses some things and chooses other things. Have to be. A.W. Tozer said this many years ago. It will require a determined heart and more than a little courage to wrench ourselves loose from the grip of our times. And I thought, boy, if that was true in his day, how much more is it true in our day? Yeah. It requires a lot of courage. And Moses had that kind of courage because he had faith that conquered fear. Moses' faith conquered fear. It says that in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as one who saw him who is invisible. So why didn't Moses fear the king of Egypt? Because he saw him who was invisible. He saw something, someone who was invisible. Vance Havner said this, Moses chose the imperishable, saw the invisible, and did the impossible. Moses chose the imperishable, he saw the invisible, and he did the impossible. And I want to say this, that's true of Moses, and it's true of every one of us, if we'll walk in true biblical faith. We have to. If we walk in faith, we will choose the imperishable. We will see what is invisible, and that will enable us to do what? What is impossible. That's biblical faith. That's true faith in Christ. Moses' family and friends probably thought he was crazy and foolish. They didn't understand him, did they? They thought his faith was blind. They're thinking, oh, Moses just has blind faith and some God he can't see. No, Moses' faith wasn't blind at all. They're over here looking at that, and they're looking at Moses going, you have blind faith. And Moses is over here going, if only you could see what I could see. Because I know you can't see it. I know, because I was over there and I couldn't see it either. But I see him who is invisible. He's real. And not only is he real, but he's a rewarder. And I choose him and his reward more than all the treasures of Egypt. It says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then we read this also in Acts 7:23. Speaking of Moses, now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. Moses was a full 40 years old, and he was still acting and living in his flesh. 40 years old. He was still acting like a child. But there comes a time in every one of our lives as children of God when God says it's time to put away childish things. It's time to grow up and be a man of God or a woman of God. It's time to come to a place of maturity. And that age is different for everybody. For Moses, it was 40. It could be 14 for you. It could be 40. Or it could be 84. It could be a lot of different ages for different people. But there comes a time in your life and my life when God says, it's time to stop being a child. It's time to choose, and it's time to refuse. And it's different for different people, like I say. For Mary, think of Mary, little teenage gal. It was time for her to refuse and to choose. And she said what? Oh, Lord, let it be done unto me according to your will. Then the disciples, we talked about them, all of the disciples, different varying ages. Jesus came to them one day and said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. It's time to refuse. What did they have to refuse? They had to refuse everything they had thought they were going to do for the rest of their life. Everything everybody else thought they were going to do for the rest of their life. They had to refuse the family business, some of them. Yeah. They had to refuse riches. Levi, the tax collector, to choose Christ. It cost them. And there came a day and a time when God said it's time to refuse and to choose. Abraham. God came to him and said, it's time for you to leave your father's house. Where am I going? You're just going to a place where I'm going to show you. You don't know yet. Noah, he's 500 years old when God tells him to refuse and choose. He says, whatever you were doing, you got a whole new profession. You're going to be a carpenter. You're going to build a big project for me. It's time for you to refuse the things of this world and to choose my will for your life. Nineveh. Look at Jonah. God called him to Nineveh. He refused. And he took the wrong choice. But God got him there eventually. Eventually, yeah. Different people. Paul, look at Paul. Paul, he's all of a sudden encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus said, you are persecuting me. You need to make a choice. Took him 3 days. In blindness. But he had to refuse. Think about what Paul had to refuse in order to choose Christ. The rich young ruler. We talked about him already. Jesus said, go, sell all that you have and follow me. He couldn't refuse. And he failed to choose. Moses knew that he was different. Moses knew that he didn't identify with Egypt or the Egyptians. He identified with God and with the people of God, didn't he? So who do we identify with? Who do we identify with? A lot of people don't want to identify with God or with his people. I think that's sad today. In fact, it's becoming more and more of the great divide that I see in our culture. I'm religious. I'm spiritual. I don't believe in the institutional church. Ooh, I just do my own thing. Yeah, it's sad. Why? Why are people taking that position? Because they are ashamed of the reproach of being part of Christ and his people. Yeah. Lori and I were on a trip recently, and we saw this big semi-truck go past us, and he had a sticker on the back of the truck. I'm not kidding you. It was that big. And he said on the sticker, it said, "His name is not the man upstairs. His name is Jesus, and he is the Son of God." I know where he stands. I like that. I know where he stands. I got it. He is not afraid to identify with Jesus. He's not afraid to identify with the people of God, even if he has to suffer reproach for that identity, just like Moses. Moses identified with Christ because Moses chose Christ. And I think Moses understood that by identifying with Christ and choosing Christ, his life would now illustrate Christ to the people of God. And so as we look at Moses' life, it's fascinating to look at his life and see an illustration of Christ woven through the fabric of his life. You see, I find it interesting that both Moses' parents and Jesus' parents were nobodies who lived under a cruel and repressive government. Moses' parents hid Moses in Egypt. Jesus' parents hid Jesus in Egypt. Why? For the same reason. They were killing baby boys. Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. Jesus sent 12 disciples out into all the world to preach the good news of salvation. Moses married a Gentile bride. Her name was Zipporah. Jesus married a Gentile bride. Her name? The church. Moses' face radiated with glory on Mount Sinai. Jesus, his whole being radiated with the glory of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses' mission was to redeem Israel from slavery and servitude in Egypt. Jesus' mission was to redeem humanity from the slavery to sin. Moses instructed the people concerning the Passover. Jesus, he is our Passover. Moses conquered armies by lifting his hands with one on one side and the other on the other side on top of a mountain. Jesus, he conquered sin and death by lifting his hands on a cross with one on one side and the other on the other side on top of Mount Calvary. Moses lifted up a bronze serpent and he told the people, "Whoever looks shall live." And Jesus said, "I am lifted up, and whoever looks to me will not only live but have eternal life, and they will be healed." Moses led the people of Israel in a song of victory at the shores of the Red Sea. What's amazing is in Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, that same song of Moses, the song of victory, you and I are going to sing. But this time, we're singing it to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, when he comes and reigns in victory for all eternity. So you see, your faith, my faith, our faith to refuse, our faith to choose, it counts for all eternity. It counts for all eternity, just like we see in the servant Moses. His faith that caused him to refuse, his faith that caused him to choose, counts for eternity. And so does ours. Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.